Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. On today's program, I'd like to talk about Obama's speech, Barack Obama, regarding the right Reverend Wrong, his pastor, and his racist and hateful comments. And then also the Iraq War 5 years later. I recall back when the first 500 U.S. soldiers were killed, and the discussion came up on this show, of course, throughout the country. Is this worthwhile? And I said, of course. Now we're here 5 years later, and 4,000 Americans have been killed, and many, many, many more have been injured. And still, of course, it's worthwhile to topple the tyrant, mass murdering regime of Saddam Hussein, and also deprive Islamic terrorists of getting control of that government, and in fact, the land of Iraq, to launch their terrorist activities on their own population and on other countries. So, yes, very much still supportive of the war in Iraq and in Afghanistan. In Florida, so these are issues we'd like to talk about on today's show. In Florida, a public school teacher has been suspended for refusing to let a 13-year-old boy go to the restroom, and he was in a panic. She would not let him leave, and she told him he'd have to use her lunchbox, either wait till after class or use my lunchbox. And when he said he couldn't wait any longer in front of the class and with the teacher watching, according to the student, he told Eyewitness News down in Orange County, Florida, that he went to the bathroom in the teacher's lunchbox in the classroom with the students and the teacher watching. How's that for the zoo that is our public schools? And then, of course, in England, as in much of the world, especially Europe, the insanity, the earth worship, the lies that are sold in the name of environmentalism and animal rights. You know how the plastic bag is destroying the world? You've heard about that? The widely disseminated fact that you get this from environmental groups, that plastic bags kill, plastic bags, just plastic bags, that they kill 100,000 animals a year and a million seabirds every year. So that's a million seabirds. I thought they were animals too. A million seabirds and 100,000 other animals every year killed by plastic bags. Now, you think that's bad? You should see how many creatures die in dihydrogen monoxide. And that stuff is all over. Industrial plants have that stuff in open vats. Even kids, humans, kids die in open vats of dihydrogen monoxide. There's not even a regulation that you have to cover them. But we could talk about that on another show. But in England, Great Britain, there was a move. In fact, there still is, to do what they can toward, bias, discriminating against plastic bags, perhaps one day just eradicating them. And this claim that they kill 100,000 animals and a million seabirds every year, that claim came from a 2002 Australian Government Commissioned report, and they quoted a report from Newfoundland, which had been done 15 years earlier, but they misquoted the report. The report talked about animals that are killed by fishermen's nets and things like that, and they just sort of invented that they were killed by plastic bags. And so this has become gospel among a lot of environmentalists. And Gordon Brown, you recognize his name? He's the prime minister over in Great Britain. He announced last month that he would force supermarkets to charge for plastic bags because they got to get rid of plastic bags. and the Campaign to Protect Rural England. They threw their support behind him. And so it turns out the whole movement against this great evil of the plastic bag is based just on some typical environmental extremist exaggeration, wannabe, everything is the end of the world, and it's really a trip. So the vast majority of animals that die from marine debris, according to the seminal study on the topic 10 years ago, were caught up in fishing gear, ropes, lines, and strapping bands. Most mammals are too big to get caught up in a plastic bag, said this report by David Laist in 1997. So anyway, it's just an example of the, could you call that poor science or just fantasy of the environmental wackos? How many times have you seen an animal? I mean, 1.1 million animals a year die of plastic bags. How many times have you seen an animal fighting for its life trying to get out of a plastic bag? I mean, when you go to the beach, when you go to the lake, when you go to the river, when you walk through the forest. Let's go to the phones. 1-800-8-N-YART, 1-800-836-9278. In Iraq, John, welcome to Bob N. Yart Live.
Hello, Bob.
Hey, John, you ever see a bird fighting to get out of a plastic bag?
I was almost strangled by a plastic bag myself yesterday, young man.
Okay.
Tell me right out of the shadows.
All right, all right. Okay, so what's up, sir?
Yes, I was wondering about your opinion on the Iraqi war. I was always interested in it because I know throughout the 6 years, we're into its sixth anniversary, and I just heard on CNN a few days ago about their discovery from the Pentagon about how there was no link between Hussein and bin Laden.
Yeah, the this is the fifth anniversary of the Iraq War, right? And, of course, back when we went into Iraq, the big, big, big public justification at the UN was because of weapons of mass destruction.
Right.
And so now they were not found. And there was also claims that Saddam had some relationship with Saddam Hussein, and that has been minimized or discredited, depending on who you talk to. But the reality was there were millions of people around the world who know right from wrong, who knew that Saddam Hussein was a mass murdering tyrant who was slaughtering his own people. And so it was good and right for other governments to go in and depose him, to remove him from power, to take down his government. There is no obligation for countries to stand by while one of their neighbors systematically slaughters its own people by the thousands, tens of thousands. You don't have to do that. And many of the people who are against the war are people who, coincidentally, have a hatred for George W. Bush.
Right.
Have you noticed that, John?
Pretty much in a lot of, Michael Moore's films and activists and other people like that. You know, I've seen it a lot.
Yeah, Michael Moore's film, Fahrenheit 9/11, when he talked about the Bush administration was friendly with the Taliban in Afghanistan before Bush became president. In fact, he was friendly with the Taliban, and in his movie 9/11, now you could read about this in USA Today's reporting. They had it on their front pages, I recall, a few years ago. Michael Moore said that the Taliban flew to Texas to meet. Now they're doing this expose of how evil George W. Bush is, and he went to war for oil. You know,
and I heard this, too, about how bin Laden's family was the only family allowed to fly out on 9/11.
All right. Well, let's I don't have information in front of me about that, but let's talk about this. So Michael Moore's movie, Fahrenheit 9/11, it says that the Taliban flew to Texas to have high-level meetings about oil deals. And then all of a sudden, what, supposedly we go to war against them? So he's making it sound like it's all backroom, smoke-filled kind of deals. What he left out, according to USA Today, what he left out is that when the Taliban flew to Texas to meet, to talk about oil, they didn't meet with George W. Bush. They met with the Clinton administration. Now, that's pretty funny, and Michael Moore knew that. And he left it out because he's a liar. Okay, so there are people who are against the war who they need to do two things. One, they need to separate their hatred of George W. Bush from their argument against the war. That's the first thing they need to do, to figure out whether the war is justified. And secondly, they have to work to be objective about the facts and the evidence. Like if they're going to say, oh, we went to war for oil, okay, well, then follow the oil. Who got the oil? We got the oil? I mean, the Iraqi government decides who they're going to sell their oil to. And oil is a fungible good anyway. And the price of oil evens out all over the world. And, of course, refineries would like to get the oil so they could get their middleman cut on the deal. But it's up to Iraq who is going to get their oil, refine it, and sell it on the world market. And so there are these absurd arguments against the war. To me, the bottom line is Saddam Hussein was a mass murderer, and it was right to take him out of power.
Right.
Now, do we have the wisdom to know how to install a godly government after we take him down? No, we don't.
You know, you're against, definitely, I know, the banner of democracy that Bush has been touting and touting throughout this entire campaign.
Right, right. Yeah, democracy is a great evil. And, well, look, in Israel, it's possible that via democracy, the Palestinians would one day vote to not allow the Jews to live in Israel.
Right, they voted Hamas in that one, the last big election.
Yeah, so anyway, democracy is not the panacea that... You know, George W. Bush, it's so funny. He said over and over and over that democracies don't attack their neighbors. I guess he never heard of Germany. I mean, Germany, Hitler came to power through the Weimar Democratic Constitution. He tried a military coup that failed. He went to jail, and then he got elected. You know, and once he was elected, granted, he violated their constitution. But he won a plurality of the vote, the way Bill Clinton did here in America. John, anything else?
Oh, yeah, no, I was just going to say, you're right, too, that democracy is merely a mirror of the people's hearts of the nation that is using it.
That's
and
right.
Most of the people aren't good. They're
All right.
wicked.
All right. Hey, John, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you, Bob.
Appreciate that. 1-800-8-N-YARDS, 1-800-836-9278. Nate in Las Vegas. Nate, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. Hello? Hello, I can't hear the caller. Let's try this again. Hello, Nate.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Oh, thank you. Hey, I have a work problem. I was wondering if you can give me some wisdom on.
Yes, sir.
All right, well, I have a boss who, we work on garage doors, and he's not getting me enough work. We don't have anywhere near the amount of work I need.
Right.
And I've been giving him ideas left and right and how to grow his business.
So, in other words, you're not working full time?
No, no.
All right.
And I've been giving him ideas on how to get more work, and he keeps on ignoring all my ideas and saying he doesn't want to do them,
right,
or he wants me to pay for him to grow his business.
Okay. That's funny. Okay.
Yeah, so I don't want to do that. So, but what I've been thinking about doing is just doing all my ideas and doing them for myself.
Oh, branching out on your own.
Well, yeah, but still work for him.
So he's been training you. Has he taught you the trade?
Yeah, he taught me everything.
All right.
Took him about a month to do it.
Oh, so you learned it quickly.
Yeah.
All right. And so you're asking basically a loyalty question.
Yeah.
What should loyalty, how does loyalty play into your decision whether or not to become a competitor with him?
Yeah, and there's even a little tiny bit more to it, is while I start mine, I still want to work for his.
All right. Okay. All right. Let's think through that.
All right.
There's legal and then there's moral, ethical. Quite often the law doesn't have anything, very little relationship with right and wrong.
Yeah.
But there's such things as no compete clauses in employment contracts. So your arrangement with him, did you guys discuss whether or not you would be allowed to compete if you went out on your own within a certain territory or a certain period of years?
No, we never talked about anything like that.
You never talked about anything like that. And the courts don't always hold up such agreements anyway, because to some extent, you're not allowed to sign away your freedom and your liberty, but there are non-compete clauses that could be ethical and proper. So you don't have that kind of agreement. There's another way for an employer to buy loyalty from his employees, and that's by providing benefits and pay above the average for the industry and vacation days and things like that. Does he give you a good benefits package?
No, nothing. There's no benefits at all.
There's no benefits.
No, okay. My payment, I get paid strictly on what work I do, and I get a portion of the profit.
Mm-hmm. So there's definitely nothing unethical about you saying, you know what, I'm going to do this on my own. I think I could do as well or even a better job. Will Duffy works for me. He's a producer here at Bob and Yurt Live, and he occasionally fills in for me.
Yeah.
Now, when he fills in, hopefully he doesn't do too good of a job because he eventually might take the show over. I'm only kidding. Yeah. I hope he does a great job. And if he struck out and he started his own show, his own ministry, and if it grew and overshadowed this ministry, that'd be a good thing. Of course, we're working for the Lord, you know, so that would be good. Praise the Lord. When somebody leaves a church and a new church is planted, a new ministry, praise the Lord. So generally, those are good things. In business, if somebody's running a business poorly and somebody else can do a better job, you might think it's hurting the first person, but it's helping the whole community because the community wants businesses that do a good job.
Okay.
And so there's absolutely nothing unethical in any way by you starting out on your own. It would be wrong for you to steal his property, of course, to start your business.
Yeah, his parts.
Yeah, and that would his parts, his inventory, but also his customer list. That's not appropriate.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I've never thought about trying to go through his customers to get my contacts.
Yeah, that would be inappropriate. And then also there's a concern if you're working for him and you're doing this on your own, you might get a call for him and try to move the customer over to your own business. That would be highly unethical.
Gotcha.
So I think it'd be very appropriate to let him know what you're doing.
If I tell him that I'm going to try and get some of my own clients, he'll fire me on the spot, though.
Oh, he will?
Yeah.
Why?
He would say any work I do towards getting customers should go to him because I work for him.
So does he pay you extra for the customers that you...
That I get? No. Any leads I get? No.
Huh.
Yeah, I'm kind of in a slightly odd spot here. If I tell him, I'm fired. If I don't, I'm broke.
Let's see. I don't believe that there's a moral absolute that says you have to tell him, otherwise you're sinning. I don't believe there is such a thing. But there is the matter of propriety, and he certainly could be concerned that you're stealing his customers. So I think you have to think through that.
Think through it a bit more.
Yeah, and if you could manage to build his business while you're building your business...
Yeah, and my goal is if I get mine up and running to where it's a decent size, I would talk to him about trying to join the two.
Yeah.
You know, my goal isn't to rip him off or run him away. I just need to get some work, and while I'm growing it, I need to make some money. I need to be able to live, and I can't live on his wages with just a little bit.
Well, it has nothing to do with morality, but I'd encourage you not to try to merge your business with his.
Yeah, that probably is a good idea. Not to, but
sort of could envision about 1,000 unnecessary problems.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Nate. Appreciate that call. Nate from Las Vegas. Boy, the show goes all over the country. Now in Indiana, Quinn, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hey, hello, Bob.
Hello, sir.
Hey, I have a question. I know you mentioned a guy running for Congress out in Colorado a few shows ago named Schaefer, and you said he was against the personhood.
Bob Schaefer, right. He's against Colorado. He's a pro-lifer against the personhood effort. And I don't know if he's one of the pro-lifers who says it's not the right time now. And actually, I guess I do know. That is what he says. But that implies that it's almost the right time or we're heading toward the right time.
Right.
And we know, of course, that that's not true. Mm-hmm. If we got one judge nominated for the Supreme Court who was pro-life, then we would have one.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we have none. We have zero pro-life judges.
Right.
Every judge on the Supreme Court believes that the government can authorize the killing of innocent children, and so they're not pro-life.
Yeah, well, that struck me. I didn't know, I didn't expect to hear that kind of stuff about Schaefer, because I had talked with Congressman Mark Souder, who represents Indiana in D.C.,
yeah,
and I got some of what he had to say about personhood. The push for the personhood movement, basically, as compared to just regulating abortion, I got on video. And I'm hoping you saw that. I sent you a link to the video player.
I appreciate that, Quinn. I haven't seen that. I'm sure my staff has.
Yeah, well,
we go through all the emails, and hopefully I will get to that.
Well, I can send you a link to it again in a minute. But
after
I had recorded that, just so many seconds after I stopped recording to get his answer to that specific question about personhood and about regulating abortion, he told me, because I'd mentioned you in Colorado, and he told me, yeah, Schaefer's a great guy, 100% pro-life, and you should support him, get behind him.
Yeah, 100% pro-life these days means that you support the regulating of child killing, and you oppose personhood efforts.
Wow.
And, of course, there is no answer to the abortion crisis other than personhood and the God-given right to life of the unborn. And when you argue that a woman should wait 24 hours before she kills her baby, that is not an argument based on the God-given right to life.
That's right.
And so that very argument undermines the understanding of the public that we are made in God's image and that it is wrong to kill an unborn child. We're just making it more reasonable to kill unborn children. And we've been doing this for 30 years. And, you know, thank God, in arrears, backward, and that Germany didn't devolve into a Holocaust-regulating industry that lasted for 30 years. Thank God, in its own perverse and wicked way, it was so evil that it spent itself out and it crumbled. Thank God that it's over, and it didn't last for 30 years regulating the killing of Jews.
Exactly.
That you could kill them, but not on the Sabbath. And you could gas them, but only with Zyklon B, not Zyklon A, and all that garbage that has become national right to life.
Exactly.
All right. Anything else, Quinn?
No, that's it. I just wanted to
appreciate
ask about
that. Yeah, it's real sad about Bob Schaefer. Hey, God bless you.
All right. Thanks. Keep it up.
Appreciate the call. That's Quinn from Indiana. Okay. So, yeah, this was in Orange County, Florida. Public schools there are now investigating the statements of a 13-year-old student, a boy, who said that his language teacher, Jamaica Chambers, told him that he could not go to the bathroom until either after class or he had to use her lunchbox. And he's in sixth grade. He said he couldn't wait any longer. If I had, I would have gone on myself, and that would have been even more embarrassing than what he faced. And he said that his entire class of 19 students and the teacher watched. I guess it'd be hard to just carry on with that going on. And it's the zoo of the public schools. The zoo of the public schools. Okay. So what else do we have going on? Then we have Barack Obama's speech on the right, Reverend Wrong, his pastor. and the racist and hateful comments. And he said, oh, they're terrible, but I sure never knew about them. I didn't know a single thing about it. I was never there. The problem is when the Right Reverend Wrong gave those sermons and you watch them on video, they videotaped their sermons. His congregation, which is large, 8,000 people, when he is screaming the hatred for America and the racism and the insanity of that worldview that is so popular, the audience was not in shock. They were not in stunned silence. They were out of control, applauding, overwhelmingly agreeing, shouting, clapping, amening, screaming, amen. So it's not as though you can go to a church for 20 years and the whole congregation knows that the pastor has these hateful views. They don't call them hateful. They call them accurate. And the sharpest guy in the whole church is totally oblivious to all the hate and the separatist kind of hate that is common. That is Barack Obama. And he supports killing black kids, right? He supports killing black children. Planned Parenthood and others have murdered about 10 million black babies in the womb. The vast majority of black children are born without a dad at home. A huge percentage are slaughtered by Planned Parenthood. And the blacks have lost their place as the number one majority in America to Hispanics because the blacks have killed one out of four of their own. They've killed. They've murdered. And the black pastors are in on it because, hey, you know, if they impregnate one of the choir members, they sure don't want her getting bigger and bigger every week while she's singing in front of the church. So they just send her down to the local Planned Parenthood, which is conveniently located in a black neighborhood. And you have the black community overwhelmingly in support of the killing of black children. That's real tragic, right? And you have Margaret Sanger, who's honored as the founder of Planned Parenthood year after year by Planned Parenthood, even though she wrote in which of her books, Woman in the New Race, of handicapped people, the blind, deaf, dumb, mute, and lame, that they are the dead weight of human waste. You know, Planned Parenthood on their national website, they have a defense of Margaret Sanger's comments, and they say they're taken out of context. And they defend them, they leave that one out. You know, they leave that one out that I went down to the Denver Public Library, got her book, checked it out, and there it is. Read the book. There it is. Okay, we're about out of time. Our website is kgov.com. You're listening to Bob Enyart Live. Do you have our catalog? If not, I think you'll love it. Full color catalog. We have about 100 resources, videos, Bible study albums, CDs, books. Call us at 1-800-8-ENYART. Ask for the catalog, 1-800-836-9278, or go online to KGOV, KGOV.com. Check out the store. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, they have a groundbreaking ceremony for their new student center expansion, March 25th. That's Tuesday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. If you could come, it's in Arvada, 72nd and Oak. Bring a shovel, all right? Prepare to get dirty. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'll see you there Tuesday, March 25th at 2 o'clock. May God bless you.